Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It is the pod of Thunder and Rock and Roll. And today, Taya Valkyrie is here. Very controversial thing going on right now with Triple H. She was recently stripped of the Reina de Reinas title under much, much controversy, resulting in a social media feud with Triple A talent relations manager Vampiro. She's going to share her side of the story, talk about her future with Triple A and with Lucha Underground as part of Lucha's worldwide underground faction. And what about Lucha Season 4? Is it happening? We're going to find out. Taya is going to tell us. She's also speaking candidly about the tragic death of the great Pedro Aguayo Jr., her mentor. Taya spent 5 years living and working in Mexico for Triple A, and you hear all that she learned from Pedro about wrestling and wrestling as a luchadora. She also recounts the night that Pedro died and what life was like for her in the days immediately following his death. Lots to talk about with Taya Valkyrie, and of course that includes stories about developing her character, some of her favorite matches in Triple A and Lucha Underground. She's got a lot of stories, and if it's stories you're after, I got a lot of stories too, because my fourth book, No is a Four-Letter Word, How I Failed Spelling But Succeeded in Life, came out yesterday, and you can get it at my Amazon store now, amazon.com/shop/IamJericho. It's my version of a self-help book, the 20 principles that I've figured out over the years that have allowed me to make my dreams come true and achieve all my goals via the people that taught them to me, the Gene Simmons principle, the Ted Irvin principle, the 12th Ninja principle, the David Bowie principle, the Vince McMahon principle, etc., etc., etc. You're not going to want to miss this. It's my version of a self-help book, and it's going to help you. Plus, it's tied in with some ridiculous stories as well. I'm going to read another excerpt of the book on Friday, actually. So go check it out. No is a four-letter word. Get your copy now at my Amazon store at amazon.com/shop/IamJericho. You're not going to want to miss it. If you liked the other three of my New York Times best-selling autobiographies, you're going to love this one as well. A little bit different, more of a self-help manual, but it's going to help you achieve what you want to achieve in life and give you a couple great laughs as well. So after saying all of that, Taya Valkyrie is coming up. But first, I want to give you a quick television recommendation. Leah Remini's Annie Emmy-nominated groundbreaking docuseries, Leah Remini's Scientology in the Aftermath, Season 2 has started. It's just as fascinating as the first season was. I binge-watched the first season, and I couldn't believe some of the things that they unearthed about the Church of Scientology. Season 2 is here, 10 new episodes that follow Leah along with high-level former Scientology executives and church members as they delve deep into the shocking stories of abuse, heartbreak, harassment experienced by those who left the church and have spoken publicly about their experiences. Church don't like it when you leave and talk about it, man. They follow these guys. They spy on them. They try and ruin their lives in a lot of ways. That's all the stuff that I found in season one. And like I said, season two is proving to be just as good, riveting, almost unbelievable circumstances surrounding all of the Church of Scientology. So Leah continues her quest to give a voice to the victims of the Church of Scientology. She's the brave face helping others speak up to overcome their experiences. And in this new season, the series is exploring accounts of former members whose lives have been significantly impacted by the church's practices, okay? Leah Remini is helping people take action. She's turning survivors into fighters, revealing truths, seeking justice. Watch the first season of Leah Remini's Scientology in the Aftermath online, on demand, and on the A&E app. You should check it out, which will lead you straight into season two. New episodes every Tuesday night at 9 Eastern, 8 Central on A&E. Don't you dare miss it. This is riveting stuff.
This is Talk is Jericho.
Okay, so maybe 6 years ago or seven years ago, I meet a hot young upstart at Cowboys?
The Roadhouse.
Roadhouse in Calgary, working there.
Oh my God.
She wants to be a wrestler, and now one of the hottest independent worldwide wrestlers, Taya Valkyrie.
Hello.
You did it.
Here I am.
Congratulations. That's
we
so,
are
that's,
in
that's
L.A.
So great,
doing
though.
This, and I'm sitting here with you.
I know,
this is
it's
awesome.
It's so funny because it really was. You looked a lot different then. You had you didn't have blonde and pink hair, and you weren't.
It's red, Chris.
Is it reddish?
It's red.
Okay. Okay, it's good. Of course, that's your real hair. It's gone that way.
Oh, it's totally normal. That's,
I know.
That's
but,
how
but,
it grows out, yeah.
But everyone's talking about you now. Like, you're another, well, I say Calgary kid, which you are because you train in Calgary.
I train in Calgary.
But now, you know, you went and made your way to Mexico and became like one of the hottest upstarts in the biz.
Thank you. Yeah. I followed in your footsteps.
I know you really did. You really did. That's pretty good. How did you end up making the transition from Canada to Mexico?
Well, a little unknown fact is that about 7 months before I went to Mexico, I was offered a contract by WWE. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, went through all the steps. I was waiting to get my medical test done, and they decided to not take me.
Mm-hmm.
So needless to say, I wasn't really given an explanation. I still to this day don't really know what happened.
Mm.
Passed the background check, did all the stuff, you know what I mean?
Did you ever try out somewhere?
Yes, I had several tryouts. I did two in Florida at what was FCW.
Okay, the cool ones where you fly down there and pay money or something? Or?
One was not and one was. Mm-hmm. And then also I went to Raw and SmackDown in Calgary and Edmonton that summer before I got signed, like before they gave me offered me the contract. And that's how I eventually did get, you know,
the contract.
And then they pulled it. They just decided they didn't want me anymore. Needless to say, I was extremely upset. It was a really devastating moment for me because I was pretty much had every, you know what I mean? I was like, oh my God, I'm just like, this is going to happen and I'm going to do it. And then it was gone.
Especially with no reason.
Yeah, and I still don't really know what happened. I don't hold any grudges. I don't hold any bad feelings because, honestly, it all led to where I am today. And here I am with you.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really matter. but that, you know, I knew Ted Hart because he was also in the Calgary scene back in the day there. And he put me in contact with Conan because I didn't want to stay in Calgary. I felt embarrassed. Like, I felt really like, oh my.
Because you had told everyone you're
well,
getting.
Well, it was kind of, it had gotten out because I'd quit my job. I quit my multiple jobs. I was working as a personal trainer and I was working bartending on the weekends. And so I quit my jobs. I had gotten rid of my apartment. I was selling my car. I had, like, you know what I mean? There was so many things that were happening and all of a sudden I had nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, what do I do about this? So I was like, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to do what I have to do to make this happen. And I've always been that kind of person. I have not had not anything handed to me. It's always been like, you know,
yeah.
I always get the shitty end of the stick, so to speak, but I make wonderful things out of it. And so then I was put in contact with Conan. I was going to go to Mexico for about a month and a half, and ended up staying. I was there for almost 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I ended
Which is very rare because especially now, when I was there, it was a lot of foreigners there.
Uh-huh.
I think the peso had a lot more value and all that sort of thing. But now
the scene was different back then.
It was
too.
A different
yeah.
scene. For you to go and live there for 5 years is almost unheard of now.
It was horribly hard at some points. I mean, I mean, you're one of the only people that can probably understand where I'm coming from. You and Sarah Stock. You know, we all kind of had to fight through that. That's how I became friends with her because she was working for CMLL while I was working with AAA.
I didn't know she was from Winnipeg until she started WWE. I had no idea.
Yeah,
all the Canadians.
Shout out to Sarah. I love you.
Shout out to Sarah.
So, you know, like we both experienced a lot of the same similar things down there. And yeah, it was almost 5 years of my life. It was really hard at some points. I dealt with a lot of stuff that, you know, your average Canadian girl just trying to make
so
it out
happens?
In the world.
You go there by yourself. That's very independent for you to go to Mexico.
I lived in a house with Conan, Nicho, who is Psychosis, mm-hmm. Silver King, and even Halloween lived in that house at a certain point.
Oh my gosh.
So imagine that. Nicho, still to this day, when he sees me, he's like, I thought you were going to last a week. And you're the only one that did it. Like,
what a place to start, though, even living with four guys.
Oh, yeah. It was
in the wrestling business, you're probably thinking, oh, this is pretty shady.
Well, my mom thought that I was going to get like chopped up, murdered,
yeah.
and never come back.
Multiple.
But luckily, obviously, none of that did happen. Conan ended up being like a huge force in my career and continues to be a very positive light, kind of guiding me through things. We obviously butt heads and do all that stuff like family does, but mm-hmm. it is what it is. But he really helped me. He actually introduced me to Paraguayo, who ended up being, you know, my mentor until he passed away a few years ago. And Paro told me, you know, the day he met me, which was like day two or three, you know, you're not going back. You're staying with me. You're going to be the first female member of Paro's Namal. Welcome to the fam.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest is history. And I ended up working for him as his valet, not officially signed to AAA for almost 7 months. And then in the fall, which would have been, you know, 7-8 months after I'd gone there, I got officially signed as a luchadora to AAA, and then I went on.
What did Perro see in you to say, besides, must have had a crush on you maybe or something?
I don't know. He was like so... I think he was, like, when I think about him, he just sees things in people, I think. And he told me, he's like, I see something in you. And he's like, you'll be wrestling in the States one day. You're something special. And he would tell me that. And I'm like, it makes me want to cry thinking about it, because he's like so special to me still. But he did see something in me. And at that point, I didn't even see it in myself, because I was so still heartbroken from my experience that had happened that year with the contract and things like that. But he pushed me. I was training with three different trainers. I was going with Apache in the morning, who recently passed away as well. And then I would go see Sky Day in the afternoon, and then I would go train with Silver King at night.
Wow.
And I was taking the subway in Mexico City. I had no money, because obviously you go there with money, but and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna work right away. Look at me. I'm like green as grass. Yeah. But in my head, I was going to go there and work right away. I did end up working right away. Like, Perro helped me get bookings, and I was working with his little small empresa, like his small little company that he had. Didn't speak a word of Spanish. Had to learn it on my own. Everyone makes fun of me because I sound kind of like a chilanga. You know what that is. I do say a lot of, Phoenix Pentagon and Perro were my Spanish teachers. So right. You can imagine how I sound. But it was crazy. And it just kind of, I had to fight a lot of naysayers. I still do. I still get a lot of it to this day.
Who's naysaying you at this point?
A lot of the people, I guess. There's a lot of problems. I felt a lot of tension in the locker room, especially with the women. It was really hard.
Because you're a güera?
Because I'm a güera loca. Because a lot of people assume that because I am Caucasian, or because I come from Canada, or in their eyes, I am American, because they just see blonde hair and you're American, that I came from a rich family, that people were, you know, that I was being, you know, given these opportunities because I was paying for them. I don't even know.
Right.
But I worked my butt off, man. Sure. I trained so hard. I had barely enough food at one point to like eat, you know what I mean? Scrounging up the money to get on the subway to make sure that I could get to my training sessions, because if you didn't go to the training sessions, you'd deal with it the next day. It was hard and horrible, and they would make you cry, and it was, you know, you get beat up. Like, that is what it is. It's really like in the trenches, the dirty old Mexican trenches.
Yeah.
And you know that, because you've lived it. And it was really, really hard. But I continued to like have this kind of attitude that I like really like, oh, I know everybody wants me to fail right now. Everybody wanted me to fail. And I was like, no, I'm not going to fail. They would tell me, you know, you can't be the Reign and Arena's champion. You're a white girl from Canada. You know what I mean?
Well, no, but you're a big muscled. I mean, you look great.
But you know how they are there, that lucha, la lucha libre de Mexico es la mejor lucha libre del mundo. Mm-hmm. It's the best wrestling in the world. So they think that, you know, their people are the best. That's great. But you know what? I'm good too.
Yeah.
And so I kept pushing and pushing and pushing, and I learned their style and I learned their language, and I, you know, shook hands, kissed babies, did all of it. You know what I mean? I went to all the interviews. I smiled, I laughed, would go home and cry, but I was like smiling and laughing. You know, I just tried the best that I could to make it work, and eventually became the, you know, first ever international, I should say, you know, woman to win
foreign,
as they love the word foreigner there, foreigner to win the Reign and Reigns title. And that was a huge moment for me. I got my nose broken in the process.
But
soccer kick to the face, always nice.
What was your name at that point in time?
It's Taya Valkyrie.
Okay, that right from the start.
Yeah, I've always been Taya since I started at PWA and ECCW in Canada.
Wow, all the way back. Did you train with Lance Storm?
With Lance Storm. So I've always been Taya. They originally, my name was Taya. Mm-hmm. But in Spanish, they couldn't, you know, pronounce it properly. I don't know. And I kept arguing with people about it. And Perro was like, just let it go. It's Taya, just let it go. And everyone would say Valkyrie because they pronounce V like V's a B.
B, yeah.
So we just dropped the Valkyrie because like Conan and AAA is like, oh, I can't even, like, we can't explain it anymore. It's just going to be Taya, like, enough.
Right.
And then, you know, I became the champ. I then got invited to come to Lucha Underground, which was a huge deal for me. It was like a...
Finally working in the States.
Like, you know, like everything I worked hard for, and I finally started working in the States. And it has been an insane, crazy ride of ups and downs, losing people, losing myself, like just finding who I am and where my place is in this business, because it really was hard to get here, but here I am.
But
so, alive and well.
When you first went to Mexico, what were some of the biggest challenges for you, or biggest differences between Canada and Mexico?
Oh my, where do I start? Well, I'm 5'7" and blonde and muscular. There's right. not a lot of that in Mexico, so I stood out everywhere I went. I didn't understand what the term "weta" meant, and people would yell at me in the streets.
It's like a blondie.
The blondie. Yeah. And I was like, what? Why are they yelling? And I would get really defensive. Like, I started getting like this weird.
The blonde.
What? Like, I just started, and I would get, that's where Perro called me la weta loca, because I would be like, I don't understand what you're saying, and like freaking out. And he's like, pinche weta loca. And that's where the name comes from, because I just didn't understand anything. Mm-hmm. And the language thing was the hardest thing. But I speak French, so that really helped.
I was going to say, like, French, Italian, and Mexican, Spanish, or have a lot of similarities.
Exactly.
Between the three. Yeah.
So I did pick up on it quite quickly. And also, I was just in it. Like, the second I saw anybody that could speak English, it was like Christmas. Do you know what I mean? I was like, oh my God. Because I didn't have like a lot of contact with people that spoke English. Like when Conan would come to the house, because he would travel like from San Diego to Mexico City, I was just like always so excited because it meant I could speak in English
could
with everybody.
Somebody, yeah.
And like Nicho obviously spoke English, but walking around in everyday life and at training, I didn't know what they were saying. I mean, this is 5 years ago when the lucha style wasn't as popular as it is now. So when they explained to me what a pass-by was, I was like, what? Because nobody
Paseo.
Was yeah, pasada, pasada. Yeah. And everything was a suplex. I'm like, that's not a suplex, that's an arm drag. And then, you know what I mean? Like, I was just so confused. It was just really hard. But eventually, and obviously, you know, they wrestle to the right, not the left. And yada, yada, rebide, and like all this stuff.
See,
and I had no clue.
The thing to me is that, like, when I went down there originally, it was with a guy called Mike Lazansky, and we went to Monterrey, Mexico, which was kind of like a, let's say, like a Ring of Honor version. And then I got picked up to go to CMLL.
Yeah.
But I had some friends.
Corazón de León.
Corazón de León. You got it. But Norman Smiley was there, and like, you know, all the guys lived in the hotel, like Eddie Guerrero and our
the Fornos.
What's that?
The Fornos Hotel?
No, it was not. It was called the Plaza Madrid.
Okay. It's probably very similar.
In the corner of Insurgentes and something else. I can't remember what it's called. But Reforma. On the corner of La Esquina de Reforma and Insurgentes. But I had people to talk to and had people. I mean, when I first went there, Paco Alonso put Hector Guerrero with me to kind of show me the ropes and kind of be my guide. Did you have that?
There were some people that went down there and trained when I went down and trained, but they all left. So I really did get left alone. But a Perro's cousin, who's known as Khan, he kind of spoke a little bit of English. So when I would be on the road with the Perros, he was kind of... But now when he speaks to me in English, I'm like, dude, speak to me in Spanish. I'm like, I don't know how we communicated with each other. I don't know. It was... There were certain people that helped me along the way. For example, Alberto Del Rio's brother, Memo... Yeah.
Memo.
Showed me how to use the Mexican subway.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there were, I remember him, his fam. I hurt my shoulder in training, and he was training with us. And he brought me to his house, and his dad fixed my shoulder for me. You know what I mean? There was always these kind of, like, weird little moments where people kind of looked out for me.
But I do see that, like, you know, and it's the classic story. Like, being in Mexico, the low-level guys were the ones that always were trying to mess with me and trying to shoot with me or trying to rib me. But the top guys were always the guys that were very helpful. I'm talking about Silver King was a perfect example. Dr. Wagner, Dandy, Negro Casas. They would help you out and say, can I do something? Like, Wagner showed me how to take the bus from town to town.
Yeah, it's
right?
The same kind of, yeah.
But they're also
vamos a la central del norte.
I used to go to the
the south one,
to the bus terminal. I can't remember what the name of the really there was a first class bus. There was one line. I can't remember what it was called. And they'd always say, "What's your name?" I'd say Chris Irvin, and they go Irvin. So I'd just say, "What's your name?" Jose Sanchez, because they could write that on the ticket.
Oh,
I wouldn't have to explain
God.
What my freaking name was. Jose Sanchez, yeah. Nombre, Jose Sanchez, boom. But yeah, I mean, but you learn those things from those type of guys, which would really help you to figure it out for yourself.
Yeah, and it's so cool because there's some people, like I mentioned, Phoenix Pentagon are some of my best friends, Daga as well, because he was part of Perro Stamal with me. We all kind of started in AAA at the same time. So we were all kind of like, you know, getting the shitty places on the bus and like waiting for stuff. But they really helped me, and they helped me. if I was upset, they would help me, or if I needed help with something, they'd help me. We'd go to restaurants sometimes, and I would always be the last one to get my order taken.
Yeah.
Didn't matter if I was the first person to sit down, and they would stand up for me and be like, yo, you didn't take her order.
Waiting,
like,
yeah.
She's been waiting. But it just like weird things like that. And, you know, helping me with my Spanish and you know, just getting along through Mexico.
Talk is Jericho.
Let's talk about Perros del Mar. Because I mean, you talk about the Bullet Club in Japan. This was kind of like the version of that in Mexico, which was selling huge amounts of t-shirts.
Oh, my God. Really, it still does. Thing. Yeah.
Still does. Tell me about how that started and what it was.
Perros del Mar was...
Bad dogs.
The evil dogs.
The evil dogs.
Which is always funny because my mom looked... They called me La Perra del Mal. When you look it up in an article or on Google, it means the evil bitch.
Bitch, yeah.
But they didn't... the translations are never right. They never sound as cool.
A female dog is a bitch.
Yes, but
so
it just sounded
bitch,
like...
But not
it just
the evil,
sounded... Yeah. Anyway, it was just bad. But for a while before I was in Mexico, so Perro and his dad... were in Arena Mexico and in AAA and doing dip. His dad is a huge legend.
Legendary.
Fur boots. Like a
Hulk Hogan style level legend.
They always had like their fur boots on, their little black trunks, very traditional, but always the boots and sometimes like the sombreros with the like kind of cowskin jackets. And so anyways,
very Mexican.
Like very, very Mexican, very traditional. So Perro eventually, as he got, you know, I think he started wrestling when he was like 15 or something with Ray.
Mm-hmm.
And, when he got older, he started his own kind of faction and he called them Perros del Mal. And it started before I got there, obviously, and was in CMLL and AAA. And he also had his own TV show at one point, his own kind of brand.
Mm. Like a telenovela or a variety show?
Like a wrestling show. He had his own promotion. It became its own promotion. And he had his own little wrestlers for Perros del Mal. He also had his own store, which was in La Roma, which is where I actually met Perro for the first time, which was where he sold all the t-shirts and did all the stuff and worked out of and planned the shows. And all the people in that office, like Landrew and Angeles and all of them, were really like just on board to help me out and stuff. It was really cool. And yeah, it was just, we were the bad guys that everyone wanted to be like. It was just so cool. The music would hit and everyone hated us so much, but they loved us at the same time. It was very strange and cool. Like it was just magic. I don't know. Like I still use to this day the Perros del Mal theme song when I'm on the Indies in the States.
It was like, bounce.
Donde están perros.
Conan plays it on his podcast all the time.
Yeah. And that's like, because that gives me that little like, you know.
Yeah.
It just, I love
it. Puts you in the mood.
Yes, I love it. So I still use that all the time for myself. And it was just such a cool thing to be part of. Because there had been members that had come in and members that had come out and all this kind of stuff. But Perro is the leader and this is how it was. And, you know, I was the girl and, you know. It,
so were you guys hated as heels or was it more of like a cool heel?
It was a cool
96
heel.
96 NWO where people are
it
just going
cool
nuts.
It was a cool heel,
you, yeah.
But then there were certain towns or certain times when Perro would get in the ring with Carlos, like Conan, and cut promos, and the people got so pissed. Mm. I had all sorts of things thrown at me. What I thought might have been beer, but who knows, you know?
It was pissed. I had the old piss.
You have the piss thrown at you?
Yeah, yeah, the red cup of piss.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so I had like... Sometimes I had like just covered in crap.
Yeah.
You know, and Perro loved to bleed in his matches and be crazy and stuff. And like, I was just like, oh my God, like I need like 10 showers because it was just covered in God knows what sort of stuff and who knows whose blood. And it was really gross.
Yeah.
But that's Mexico. But man, was he over. You know what I mean? Like people loved to hate him. They loved to hate us. And it was so cool. When he passed away, it was like, the most devastating, not only for me, but I feel like the entire Lucha Libre community and the fans, they still adore him, you know, and...
Were you there that night?
I was not. I was actually in Acapulco, coming back on a bus, small little bus. Pentagon was sitting next to me, and my phone kept going. I was sleeping, and I kept getting phone calls, like my phone was ringing, and it was... my friend Oscar, who worked in AAA, and also Khan, who was in Tijuana with Perro that night. And they told me that he passed away. And I just remember sitting there. We were still driving. You know, the highways from Acapulco to Mexico City are so dangerous.
Yeah, it's brutal.
I made the bus stop on the side of the road. I was like, stop. Like, I was like...
Was it a team bus or was it a commercial
bus?
It was
a tiny like van that only had us in it.
Gotcha.
Okay, so, and the coordinator, porque siempre hay un coordinador, like a coordinator guy was like in the front seat. And I'm like, please stop, please stop. And I got out of the car And I sat on the side of the highway and like bawled and bawled. And Pandagon comes out and he's like, what's going on? ¿Qué pasa? And I told him, and everyone on the bus was like totally in shock. Cause like we had just, like, I got goosebumps right now. We had just worked with him at Rey de Reyes in Monterrey, like the week before. Like we would see each other like all the time. And I just didn't, I couldn't like process it at all. I was hysterical. And I sit on the side of the highway and they're like, we got to go. And I was just, they couldn't get me off the side of the highway. Like I just was like, I couldn't process it. I ended up getting back on the bus and we drove back and I had to tell like some of his best pair's best friends about what happened. And it was horrible. I had to tell Cibernetico that he passed away. I had to tell Landry, who had been his press person for years. You know, it was just like, it was horrible. It was just...
And just so people know, not only was huge in the community and personally, but as a star, maybe John Cena level star in Mexico.
Yeah.
Like top of the
huge.
Top. Yeah.
Hugely famous. And loved and hated and all of that. You know what I mean? He just had so much charisma. And we'd always make fun of him because he was never like a... He didn't do a lot of stuff or he didn't do... Because he didn't have to. Like he was so infectiously charismatic and crazy when he came out there and did his things. Like I would be like, oh my God, hiciste una tarjeta de la tercera. Like I'm like, you need a flying head scissor? Holy shit. You know, but it was like a joke between all of us because we were just like... He didn't have to do that very, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he was just so good and so loved for who he was. And, you know, he did different projects on TV. He was very into, you know, working angles properly and like creating so much drama and
old
like
school. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it was so fun to learn from him. I mean, if there's anybody that taught me anything, like he influences the way I am a heel. He influences the way I'm a babyface. He influences the way I carry myself when I cut promos. There's so many things that he has totally left a mark on me forever.
Do you feel, you know, a guy of his level in the business that it hurt the Lucha Libre business? Have they been able to kind of replace, not replace, but...
Obviously, like, someone like that can never be replaced. I think they've tried to try to put some people in his position, so to speak, but it's just not the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I think after that, it brought attention to what Lucha Libre is. I felt so bad for Rey. Rey is like the nicest person.
Rey Mysterio
is the nicest person ever. Anyone who's worked with him knows that. And I just, it was so sad. Like we went to the funeral, all of us were together and I just.
Was it some kind of a cervical injury that was there for a while, right?
Apparently that's what I've been told, was that it had been like basically something that, you know, he hit his head wrong one time and there it goes, you know. He had a neck like a pit bull. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it was just, I just felt like he was so invincible. And I think that just like broke down like the reality of how dangerous wrestling is for me, because he was fine early, like an hour before that.
Right.
You know, and I still, like, I remember it was horrible because, you know, in Mexico, they don't have like censorship. So you have, everything's on the front page of the newspaper, dead people, videos, they're
like shot in the head.
Oh, just
people,
yeah, it's horrible. You know, stuff you don't want to see. And for me, when that happened, it was all over the news. It was replayed on TV 100 times an hour. It was everywhere, and I like could not watch it.
Yeah,
I refused to watch the video, and it took me about 3 weeks to finally be like, okay, let's. I want to see this because I want to know like how this happened. And still to this day, I go, what the.
I was the same way. I don't like stuff like that, but I wanted to see it. And watching it, like you said, like where?
What is it? It wasn't a dropkick. It wasn't. Come on, it's not a 619. It's not doing anything.
Yeah, it was maybe there was some kind of a boot out of the corner where he kind of fell back and rolled in. Maybe it was there. I mean,
there was a moment he also rolls out of the ring.
Yes.
And if anybody's familiar with the way Mexican rings are, a lot of them do not have the proper padding and things on the outside coming all the way to the edge of the apron. I thought that was the point, maybe a moment, maybe he hit his head on that exit that did something. And because it was when he came back in that you see him position himself at 619, and then he slumps down, and then you see Conan come to him and the match stops, obviously.
Yeah.
But it was just, it's so crazy to me. I just feel, it was just horrible. It was, you know, I'm really I'm glad that I was able to see his family at his funeral, and his family continues to be very supportive of me. He comes from like an amazing family in outside of Guadalajara. So, you know, it was just heartbreaking for everybody.
Sure.
Yeah.
But once again, that kind of, you know, it led to maybe you looking for other things and moving on to this Lucha
evolving,
Underground
evolving into like the person I am today. And then like I'm for anybody that doesn't follow AAA. Which
well, let's talk about that. I didn't want to just say, so tell me. But I mean, there's a big controversy going on right now with you and AAA. And let's let's explain it.
Well.
You won the title. You're the champion.
I won the title in probably one of my favorite matches and most intense matches I've ever had in my career.
Versus
Ayako Hamada. Shout out to Ayako. She's amazing. Currently in Japan right now. Craziness. Street fight, blood, guts, glory, tears, sweat, all of the above.
Bodily fluids.
I feel like, and it was in the same arena where Pero passed away.
Really?
Same arena.
Was that in TJ or what was
in
that?
In Tijuana. Wow. That famous hallway that you walk down to go to that arena.
Yeah.
My favorite arena to perform in, honestly, because the people there, la gente de Tijuana, hola. They're the best. They're so fun. They're on fire. And a lot of people say it's the hardest arena to work in front of. Mm-mm. It is just so fun. You just like get so much out of them and intensity from them. We have this crazy street fight. I win the title back because I had lost the title to Ayako like 2 months earlier after being the longest reigning Reina de Reinas champion in history. In Monterrey, and then in Tijuana, I won it back in the street fight. Vampiro comes out from the back, congratulates us, says that, and it is on tape. If anyone wants to watch it, it is on YouTube. Congratulates us for having like the best match in the year and women's, you know, in Lucha Libre women's history and all this stuff.
Vampiro was like the boss of AAA now, or the booker.
Vampiro. Job is he is the head of talent relations for AAA and for Lucha Underground.
Okay, gotcha. So he comes out and
he comes out. And so he's basically like agenting in the back and stuff like that. So he comes out. We did not know this. You see me like walking towards the back and he comes out and I'm like, oh God, is this like, am I forgetting that something's going to happen here? And I like flip off someone in the audience. I don't know. I was just like, I was out of my mind. I felt like I had an outer body experience that match. I think Pero was like, literally was like inside of me, like, ah, like I just became a lunatic. Anyways. Vampiro comes out, says all this stuff, tells me to get back in the ring, congratulates us. It's a big emotional thing. People are throwing money in the ring. It's craziness. I go backstage and I'm just like out of my mind, like, oh my God, what just happened? It was crazy. It was awesome. I had an amazing match. The next day I got on a flight and I was off to New York for Comic-Con. Like I was just like all over the place. And that time I got in a car accident when I was in New York. I was hit by a drunk driver and I couldn't come to Mexico because I had been hit by a drunk driver. I couldn't wrestle for, you know, a month and a half or 2 months or whatever the time it was. And I told them I'm okay. I walked away. Everything is okay. But I do have my muscles in my neck are really pinching nerves. Right. And I could feel, you know, when you get that tingling like that.
Some time to
Yeah, exactly. And I was seeing a sports therapist. Everything was fine. And I later found out, like, John was going there for TV.
This is Johnny Mundo.
Johnny Mundo, John Morrison, John Hennigan.
Your fiance.
My fiance was told that he was invited to come. He was supposed to go for TV because he's their triple crown champion right now. So they said, can you bring Tyus Belt? Because we want to shoot some stuff backstage with it. Yeah. And of course, I said, of course, you can take my belt.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, I don't care about the belt. It's not about that. Yeah. So he brought the belt and he called me that night after the show and I was like, oh, are you bringing all the belts back and stuff? Cause we also wanted to do some shoots with this, with, cause he has we're both, you know, the champions of the company,
couple.
The power couple, you know? Yeah. And he goes, oh no, they didn't let me take yours. And I was like, what the hell is going on? Immediately I texted Dorian, who is, his family owns AAA. And he's like, oh, just wait. And like, you know what I mean? Me and Dorian have always had like a really good working relationship. I haven't had problems with him. I love his mom, his dad who passed away as well this year. We're always super like other, you know, my family from there. They totally watched out for me and stuff. And the next day I woke up to find out that I'd been stripped of my title. Which Vampiro announced on social media. So I found out over social media that I've been stripped of my title. Not a phone call, not a message, not an email. I'm like glued to my cell phone. You can text me anytime and I will answer you right away. Like, it's not a big deal.
Stripped for what?
They told me this. The angle they were trying to use was saying it was an illegal choke that I used.
To win.
But I was congratulated on my win because that makes zero sense.
You said it was a street fight.
And it's a no DQ.
Okay. So
tell me how that.
Yeah.
Tell me how that makes sense.
Right.
If this is all storyline, then make something that, in my opinion, that makes sense to
right,
people.
Sure.
Wrestling fans are, you know, They're mm-hmm. smart. Everyone knows what a no DQ is.
Right.
And if I couldn't go there to defend it, I was totally ready to like make a video, make up some heelish way of saying, you know, screw this, I don't want to come down there. The whole situation could have been handled. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you want me to do? It's Spanish, English. I'll do it. I'll send it off. Like, it doesn't matter. So I just felt very disrespected because I was like, they did that to me in that way. And everyone's like, just calm down. This is all just part of the thing. And I'm like, well, if this is what it is and this is part of an angle, then why isn't anybody talking to me?
I told you.
Yeah. And a lot of people know this, that a lot of people left AAA in the last year. All of my friends left AAA in the last
why?
Year. Because they had problems with the office. They just didn't feel they were getting paid enough. Just different things. You know what I mean? Everyone has their own reason. And I stuck by them. And like all my friends are like, eres una pendeja. Like, you're an idiot. Yeah. You're stupid. Why are you doing this? And I was like, you know what? No, I really believe in being loyal, fiel, and like, you know, really stand by the people that made me. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
The people that created and made me, gave me the opportunity, sent me Lucha, like, you know, whatever. And then I just felt like it was a big slap in the face because I was like, you know, all I needed was a text message. Mm-hmm. And then to later on find out that also they brought back Sexy Star, who had left on bad terms from the company a year and a half earlier, just to have a weird match where then Vampiro got in the ring and said that I didn't show up to my booking. Like, I didn't show up to the show.
Were you booked?
No, I was not booked.
Right?
I couldn't even go. Like, do you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
So then he's making, and I get it, like, you know, making a story and stuff, but it just wasn't handled the right way, in my opinion.
It was a story you need to know about.
Yeah. And then it just made me, I felt like it made me look bad. I don't know. I'm a very sensitive person and I take my job like really, really seriously. And I just want everything to be perfect. Mm. I don't care if people hate me for being a heel and doing a lot of stuff. I've been a heel for this long and I love it. Like, I've gotten death threats and all crazy shit, but it wasn't about that. I just felt really disrespected. And then, and it all of a sudden they were having this women's tournament match to crown the winner, and Sexy Star becomes the new Reign of Reigns champion. It all just seemed a little bit weird to me. Mm. I'm not going to go into too many details, but it just seemed suspicious.
Well, it's very suspicious.
And it just made me feel like I was backstabbed. It made me feel like I wasn't important anymore after that long. And all of a sudden it seems like I don't even exist. You know what I mean? So there were ways of doing it, then I just felt that it wasn't done the right way.
Mm-hmm.
People can choose to disagree with me or not, but I think I deserved more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where I stand right now with AAA. I'm taking some time off from Mexico. I needed some time off. I'm very happy right now, like doing my stuff and planning my life. And I've never been in a better place than in my personal life. Planning a wedding for the spring.
Congratulations.
Thank you. All this kind of really cool things. And it was just kind of like a dark, shitty cloud that happened. And I wish them all the best. I wish, you know, in Triple Mania, the Sexy Star is going to defend her title against someone who is one of my best friends. And I really hope that she rompele su madre. Like, she just,
who's
like,
that?
Like, just beats the shit out of her.
Who's your friend?
Lady Shani.
Talk is Jericho.
So let me ask you this, though. When you're talking about leaving AAA, do you have a contract with them? Or
I do.
I know when I was in Mexico, there really wasn't much of a contract, per se, that I can recall.
I did have a contract with them. I continue to have a contract with them. I've just chosen that I just need some time to breathe and stuff. And I think a lot of things need to be discussed because I just am not happy with the way this all went down. And I don't like the way that it made me feel.
It seems that a lot
more
of
than
people
anything.
Are not happy with Vampiro's involvement in the company.
Yeah.
Stuff that I've heard.
He's ruffling some feathers, and I feel like, you know, and John ultimately did stand up for me, which was a, you know, if anyone else knows John, he's the nicest person too.
Yeah.
For him to say what he said on Twitter was a big deal because he doesn't talk like that to people.
Yeah.
But I mean, Vampiro went online and said some really horrible things about me, which he then deleted. And then he apologized on his Facebook page and then deleted it. And then apologized to me in person at Comic-Con. And I don't like holding grudges. This is work. Do you know what I mean? At the end of the day, I don't have to like someone to work with them, but I will always be the, you know, take the higher road because this is my livelihood and my life. I just thought that he didn't handle this professionally. And if you're supposed to be, you know, the person that's representing the talent, you shouldn't be talking about them like that. And I think he realizes that now. I hope he realizes that now. You know, I really thought that he's also a Canadian who went to Mexico. I felt like just, you know, the Mexican culture is very patriotic and they all stand together and they're all just like, and he was the one Canadian that I really thought would have my back. And I felt like he didn't have my back. So I just felt like shit, basically.
Well, just keep this in mind. I lived in Mexico for 2 years, where the other Canadian also lived in Mexico for 2 years. And I never saw him once anywhere other than at the matches.
Yeah.
So let's just leave it at that. But let's talk about Lucha Underground. You mentioned
yes.
it. What's going on with Lucha Underground? It came out of the gates really huge.
Blazing. Like a fire.
And then it's kind of settled into where it's on, it's off. Is it on? What's going on? Do you even know?
I don't even know right now. What a lot of people don't realize is we filmed season 2 and season 3 back to back. We did not take a break. Season 3 had 40 episodes.
So many episodes.
I will tell you, though, that working at Lucha Underground is a dream.
Nice.
It is a dream because we are given... We're artists, you know? Yeah. Like, we get to be so creative on that set and with that show and with those writers.
Right.
Krista Joseph is one of the most amazing writers ever. I love him. He's awesome. You know, Tony Jensen, one of our producers, Eric Van Wagen... you know, we're executive producers and all that kind of stuff with like Robert Rodriguez and Mark Burnett. And like, we have all these awesome people working with us and we get to be creative every day. Like they will give us like the direction they want us to go in and the agents will help us. But as far as the matches are concerned, we're given so much creative, like allowed to do so much creatively, you know, just tell us where you're going to dive, you know, like where the cameras are, because the cameramen are TV people. They're not
right
wrestling people. So this is a TV show, which a lot of people don't realize, or they think just because there's wrestling on it is a wrestling show. No, you can't be offended by me and Brian Cage wrestling, because think of two characters in Mortal Kombat. You can be a woman character and a man character,
way to put it,
you know. So I mean, come on, there's fire breathing dragons, people that come back to life, stones that are possessed with souls. Like there's just like, it's, if you want to get, you want to, when people tell me I can't believe you and Jeremiah Crane, who was Sammy Callahan, wrestled that hard, and I can't believe that happened, and I don't know if I feel happy, like comfortable watching that. And I'm like, dude, when you watch Black Widow and I don't know, Catwoman fighting people, you know, evil people in movies, and the Avengers or Wonder Woman that just came out, you know, you don't get offended by that.
That makes sense, because I'm not a fan of like men versus women wrestling, but yet then again, my very first angle ever in wrestling in the WWE was against China.
Ah.
So maybe that's why it just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. But when you put it like that, because Lucha Underground is more of like a fantasy,
it's a fantasy land
type of, yeah,
fantasy world.
It's very much, and that's what I liked about it when I watched it at first, was it was very different from anything else that you're going to see.
Mm-hmm. It's just, the temple itself is a character, in my opinion. You
that's
know,
the arena,
building, the arena, which is a horrible, you know, grungy warehouse in Boyle Heights, California, downtown LA.
Yeah.
A few blocks from Skid Row. But it's so cool there. Like, you go there and you're like so excited. I remember the first day I got there and I was in the car driving there, and Tejano was in the car with me from the airport, and he's like, why are you smiling like that? And I was like, I am so excited. Like, I'm just, the passion I have for that place is ridiculous. And the second you get there, you feel welcome. Everyone is so cool. All the people that work backstage, like from, you know, the helpers to the wrestlers, everyone just gets along and has like the best time. And we create magic. And that's what's cool. It just sucks because we did shoot the seasons back to back. We, what you are watching now in Lucha Underground was filmed over a year, about,
and this
about
is
14,
season 4 is on now.
Season 3.
Season 3. You still have season 4
still,
in the can?
We haven't done season 4 yet.
Oh, okay.
We haven't done season 4. We did season 2 and 3 back to back.
Okay, so, 3, 4, gotcha.
So what you're seeing now, for me, like the Taya you were seeing now on TV, that is 14 months old.
Wow.
So for me to watch it back, I'm a totally different person. I'm a totally different wrestler. I look different. I work differently, because I believe, even now, that I become better every year and better all the time, and I'm trying to do new things and new moves and new finishers and new things, and I'm like, oh my god, what is going on? But it's crazy. So right now we've been, you know, without doing TV for Lucha Underground for almost 14 months, so that's been a little rough on all of us.
So what's the word with that then?
Well, everybody's super hyped and wants to do season 4. They haven't, it hasn't been greenlit yet, so we don't really know what's going on. originally we were told the fall. Well, the fall is coming. So I really hope that we get an answer soon as to what is going on so that either we can move forward with this project that we love so much or we move on to something else, you know? Mm-hmm. But everyone there is just so passionate about what Lucha Underground is. And it really is a combination of worlds and people. And I feel like all of us have been our misfits in the world of wrestling that have been told no and yes and had these really interesting and horrible, but sometimes wonderful experiences. So it is very close to my heart and it changed my life. It's where I met my now fiance. It's the reason I am in my career where I am now. And yeah, so we'll see what happens.
Was it fun for you after all the years of wrestling in Mexico to come back and wrestle, you know, ipso facto in your own country?
Yeah, it was just so, I'm like, what do you mean we have a change room with mirrors and electricity? What do you mean we have catering? What do you mean?
Toilets with toilet seats.
You mean there's we could put the toilet paper in the toilet?
Why do they do that?
I don't know.
Why do they do that? We're talking the first thing in Mexico, when you go to the bathroom, there's no, you don't put the toilet paper down the toilet. You put it
in a garbage can,
you know,
or sometimes
just on the floor beside. So you look on, there's like a bunch of brown stained toilet paper.
It's so gross.
It's so gross.
But see, like I mean, that is what Mexico did to me. It humbled me. It made me appreciate so many things. I can never speak badly of my experience because it just made me who I am. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
May that be good or bad and like some horrible moments in my life, but it turned me into the Taya and the Kira, that's my real name, that you see before you and the person that has so much passion for the business because I had to fight so much. And I think that there is something to be said for that, you know? So I appreciate those things.
I think you'll never take anything for granted.
Nope.
I know, like, I never, to this day, no matter what it is, even having a match on WrestleMania. Of course you have a match on WrestleMania. Says who? Tomorrow, I could not have one. I mean, just everything you get, you take it so much more seriously.
Yeah, and I think that's why the championship really thing bothered me, because I take it so seriously. And I'm so passionate in how much work I had to do to get that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, moving beyond that, that's okay. That chapter kind of has closed or is on pause for me for now. And that's totally fine. Good luck to the girls that are there. Good luck to the company. Good luck to everybody. And I don't want to speak that poorly of a company that did give me my opportunity, but it was shitty what happened. And now I'm like just moving forward and appreciating everything like a little bit more still. And I'm training in the ring like 3 or 4 times a week still, because I have a ring at our house, which is awesome. But I'm able to, and I'm all over the country. I'm doing different stuff. And, you know, there's some interesting things that are going on with a company called GFW/Impact.
Good.
Which are opening up, so we'll see what happens there.
I was wondering about that. You know, obviously with the original WWE tryout, but women's wrestling now is more emphasis on the States than it ever has, in all the companies. So yeah. Do you plan on wanting to do more in the States?
Of course. Mm-hmm. All I want to do, Chris, is wrestle and be happy. Yeah.
Not much to ask for.
And wrestle every day and perform. I'm a performer. I get in front of those people and it's like the biggest adrenaline. I just would like give everything to be, you know, I want to give everything to the fans, you know, and even if they're booing me, it's okay.
that's
you know, that's the part.
You.
That's the part that I love. So I just want to wrestle and be happy. And so right now I'm just trying to build my brand up, be in everyone's face. You know what I mean? And I think I'm doing that. And we did some Impact Live events last weekend, which were really interesting and fun. I was like, this is so cool. And like, I had to even slow my style down. I guess just like, I'm like sort of learning to adapt more to different styles.
Right. Because now you're in the States now.
I'm in the States and everyone wants to see me do Lucha Libre things. I mean, I run the ropes like a luchador. I do certain things that are probably super weird. And I'm sure Lance Storm cringes every time he sees me do them. But Lance, I love you. It's just the style that I've become. And like, I've taken little things from everywhere I've been. I was in Japan last year twice, once with Stardom, once with AAA.
Nice. What did you think of Japan?
It was very interesting, very cool. I think my favorite match there was I had a 1-on-1 with Io Shirai, which was awesome and great.
Is she in the WWE now?
No. Okay. Kairi is there.
Gotcha.
And she was there when I was there. She's so talented with her flying elbow drop. She's super, such a sweet girl. So I'm really happy for her. I think she did the Mae Young Classic too.
Has it been on the Mae Young Classic?
No, believe that it's...
Do you follow that?
I do follow that. I mean, I think
it's smart for you too.
Important to follow everybody because you never know when you're going to be given the opportunity to either be there or face one of them within my world or whatever. You know, I think the girls that are in the WWE right now, like I'm a huge fan of Charlotte's. I think Charlotte is doing a phenomenal job and really proving that she's as talented as, you know, her name says that she is.
Right.
And I think that's really cool. I think that Sasha's great. Bailey's great. All like Natalia. So, I've been a fan of Natalia forever.
Yeah.
From his Calgary days. When before she even went to WWE. When she
I love how Canadian you are with Sasha. I said the same. It's Sasha. Don't
oh, pardon
know?
Me. Sasha.
I'm the same. I was like, Sasha's great.
The boss. Sasha. How about we say just the boss?
The boss.
All of them are great.
Did you ever train with Natty at all or work out with Natty?
Not really. It was really like when I started really wanting to get into wrestling, she was kind of on her way out of Calgary.
Gotcha.
So I didn't really get that chance to. Yeah. I mean, hopefully I don't like to say never say, you know, never say never. You never know what can happen. You know, this is a crazy world of wrestling. And especially now with the way women's wrestling is, we're stronger than ever. And I'm just proud that I am part of this kind of cool Lucha Libre side of it. I'm very happy the girls in WWE are doing so amazing. And one day I will see one of you somewhere.
That's what I mean. Like everyone knows your name now. If you know anything about wrestling, you know, independent wrestling, not even independent, worldwide wrestling, they know your name.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been to England or anything like that?
I have not been to England.
So I'm sure the opportunities are
I would love
to.
It's just really been a scheduling issue. I've talked to people in England. It's just been a scheduling issue as well as Australia. I was supposed to, we were talking to some people in Australia because I wanted to get the Worldwide Underground down there, which is me, John, PJ Black and Jack Evans.
Okay.
That's our faction in Lucha Underground. So I don't know, man. I just want to like travel the world and wrestle everybody. I want to wrestle the best people. I mean, I wish I could just like handpick everybody. You know what I mean? It's just so crazy. I think some of the girls right now, even in NXT, just are so good. Ember Moon's amazing. Asuka is amazing. Ruby Riott is amazing.
Once again, like, those girls have been traveling around just like
they've all worked. Yes. Everyone I feel now, there's just like this sprouting of talent of these girls can wrestle.
Do you find that, though, like not just girls but guys, like the independent wrestling scene, the worldwide wrestling scene is maybe stronger now than it's ever been?
Oh, it's crazy. The amount of talent there is on the independent wrestling scene, and I'm facing them all the time, is insane. And that's something I do like about the position I am now, is because I do get to go do the TV stuff and be on the TV shows. I mean, I work technically for 3 TV shows right now, pretty much. It's
right.
A little bit crazy.
Yeah.
Or potentially 3 TV shows, I should say. Yeah. But I'm still able to, you know, go out in the indies and work for places like Wrestle Circus and work for House of Hardcore and face people like Jessica Havoc and Ruby Reyes that's from California, or, you know what I mean? Like, I just kind of get to go everywhere and face these amazing people and face guys and, you know.
You really are doing it the same way that I did it when I started, is you go worldwide and slowly hone in on the target of wherever it is that you want to go into the States, if that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
But you're getting all this worldwide experience
I
and
got
life
mad
experience.
Street cred now,
yeah,
Chris.
Yeah, mad street cred. Absolutely.
And and yes, I took the road less traveled. It was not easy, but I think I'm a better person for it. I think I'm a better wrestler for it. And I just think that I'm going to have a better career for it.
Mm.
And it's going to be hard and it's going to be long and it's going to be tiring. But I have such a great support system now in my soon-to-be husband. That's so weird to say. Oh, my God. I'm such an adult. I always say, I'm going to be a senora. Oh, my God.
But fiance is so pretentious, dude. My fiance.
My fiance.
Future husband is better. Yeah, fiance.
No, but I have such a good support system in that, and I've never had that before in my life. You know what I mean? Someone who wants me to be better and wants me to succeed and wants to see me happy and having the best matches and like, works with me on stuff.
Right.
You
know, it's like, important, too, spending the time.
I can't get this, you know, weird spinning gimmick. I'm like, trying all sorts of weird things these days too. Like, and
don't get all parkour on me now.
Parkour. I went to the parkour gym in LA. I'm horrible, so don't worry. I fell smashed. I like literally fell flat on my face trying to do like one simple thing. I think John was mortified, but whatever. But I'm just like trying to develop and change, and he's like, you know, and become the best that I can be. I know that's so corny, but.
But that's what you've been doing.
An ever-evolving process.
Yeah, exactly.
The second you stop evolving, someone is going to pass you and come from behind and be better than you. So I believe, and I mean, he's done it too. I don't think he's ever looked this good and wrestled this good. His promos are so good. He's like...
Worldwide
influence. Yeah. He's doing... He's in Sharknado 5, if anybody...
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We went to that.
Sharknado 3.
I know. I saw it. So he's in Sharknado 5. His new movie, Boone the Bounty Hunter, available
right here,
now on iTunes and Amazon, is doing... We have a wedding to pay for, so if everyone could just buy 5 copies, that'd be really great. Right? But he's doing so good. I'm so happy and proud of him. And I'm so glad that I have him in my life to help me kind
of. It's a good support system.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. So I just feel like my career is going in a really great direction. Yeah, it's some things recently have sucked, but
yeah, that's how it goes.
It's all right. Take it with a grain of salt and move on. If I keep getting upset about it, it's just.
Strikes and gutters.
Yeah.
That's the best we look at.
But I'm coming out on top, so we'll
last,
be cool.
Last question. What's your favorite match you've ever had? Is the one that stands out for you?
I think. Versus women, it would have to be my recent Ayako Hamada street fight.
Mm-hmm. Versus, when you won the title?
Yes, when I won the title, because I really felt so crazy in that match. Like, I was like, I think I saw black. Like, everyone's like, Tejano and Fantasma, when I came backstage, like, who the hell was that? Like, they just, like, didn't. I've been, like, kind of like this Barbie heel, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And I went out there in jeans and a white shirt and my blood everywhere. Just and it was disgusting it, yeah. And bleh, like, I was tongue out gross. Ew. But it was so fun. And then I think that, like, in intergender wrestling, there was a tag match that we did in season 2 where it was me, Cage, Johnny, and somebody else. Oh, God, they're going to kill me. Or maybe it was the three of them. I can't. Yeah. Me, Cage, and John versus Ray, Puma, and I want to say it was Dragon Azteca Jr. That was so fun for me.
So you're the only girl in the match.
I'm the only girl in the match. I think I'm the only girl that's ever wrestled Rey Mysterio.
Ah, nice.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I remember we were putting the match together and he had to do like his senton to me on the outside and I marked out huge. I was like, oh my God, yes. Because who, like, he is like my friend and everything, but I'm just, I look up to him so much. Obviously, who doesn't look up to Rey Mysterio in wrestling? So that would have been like one of my intergender favorites, as well as obviously the match that came out recently versus Sami Callihan, which is Jeremiah Crane. And my match of season 2, which was my first match ever in Lucha Underground, No DQ versus Brian Cage. So I've had
beating the shit out of those dudes.
Oh yeah, come on now. They beat the shit out of me too. Like I get put through tables and like it's just a mess.
Works both ways.
Goes both ways. But I just think that I've just been lucky to have some really cool matches that people talk about. Mm-hmm. If it makes you uncomfortable and you're talking about it, I'm doing my job.
Absolutely.
So
it's great to talk to you. Come a long way since the Roadhouse.
I would hope so. But I'm just happy to be here and thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. I'm sure we'll be seeing Taya in the ring again very soon. She's got a lot of options and still the potential for season 4 of Lucha Underground, which we want to see. And congrats again to Taya and Takas Jericho, alumni Johnny Mundo, a.k.a. John Morrison, a.k.a. John Hennigan, a.k.a. Johnny Impact, on their engagement. And I also want to say, she mentioned Sexy Star, and obviously this was taped before the controversial incidents that happened this past weekend where Sexy Star basically shot on her opponent and broke her arm. And if that's true, Sexy Star, you're a sexy piece of shit, and so is anybody that books you from now on. This is wrestling is you're giving each other your body. There's a lot of trust. And to do something malicious like that on purpose, I don't care what the circumstances are. That's just bad, bad news, man. And I don't know where her mind is at. I've never met her. At this point, I don't think I want to. Sexy Star, you are now going to have a lifetime ban from Talk is Jericho. Sexy Star is banned from Talk is Jericho for life. There you go. That's my little piece of the pie. And that's what I say about that. So I wanted you to go, please check out all the great shows on the Jericho Network. I got so many of them up there and we've been having so much fun over the last few months. Great shows coming into their own. Team Tiger Awesome, so funny on Sundays. Killing the Town with Storm and Cyrus. Rock Talk with Mitch LaFon. Beyond the Darkness 5 days a week, getting your scare on. The flagship show, Keeping It 100 with Conan. And I think the most underrated podcast on the Jericho Network is The Raven Effect. Yeah, check that one out. The goofy mind of Raven. The brilliant, insane, genius mind of Raven. And also, if you like Beyond the Darkness, go check out Tim and Dave's True Crime show, True Crime Tuesdays. The guys behind Beyond the Darkness do a weekly True Crime Tuesday podcast. You can get that by signing up at patreon.com for just $5 a month. You'll get a new episode every single Tuesday, and all episodes are commercial free. All right, no commercials. So sign up now at patreon.com. One big last thank you to all the Sexy Beast Talk is Jericho sponsors and to all of you for supporting the great sponsors. Leah Remedy, Scientology, The Aftermath. Watch episodes every Tuesday at 9 Eastern, 8 Central on A&E. FanDuel, go to FanDuel.com. Use my promo code Jericho to play for free with no deposit. DDP Yoga, go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho to get 25% off the DDP Yoga DVDs. And to True Car, save time, save money. Do it now. That's the best way to get a car. Also, I'm doing a few book signings this week. I want you guys to come check those out if we are in your area. I had a great one last night in New York City. I got one tonight in Ridgewood, New Jersey at Bookends. It'd be great to return to there. That's at 6 p.m. Then on Tampa, Florida, Barnes & Noble on Northdale Mabry at 7 p.m. Orlando, Florida, Barnes & Noble, East Colonial Drive at 7 p.m. on September 1st. And then on September 6th in Los Angeles, Barnes & Noble on Grove Drive at 7 p.m. And September 18th in Oshawa, Ontario at the Indigo in King Street West at 7 p.m. Tampa's on 8/31, by the way, as well. So August 31st is Tampa and September 1st is Orlando. So if you're in that area, come over and check it out. Come on, say hi. How you doing? How are you? How are you? What's going on? So that's about it. I'm having a great time here. We'll see you on Friday because we got the story of Metal Blade Records with founder Brian Slagle, the first and original heavy metal record company, the company that discovered Metallica and so many other huge, huge bands over the years. The story of Metal Blade Records is here with Brian Slagle. Thank you for listening. Keep listening for the AP headlines coming up next. In the meantime, in the between time, stay hard, stay hungry, peace, love, and hugs, and a big yeah, boy!
Listen to new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday on the Podcast One app, or subscribe at Apple Podcasts or PodcastOne.com.